949-8686. Now, Bill Hendricks.
Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. On the fifth anniversary of Columbine, they're taking some extra precautions at schools. Any kid that is in band, any kid that's in the astronomy club, any kid that's in one of those gay straight alliance clubs, in other words, any kid that's just begging to get beat up, will be the target of their investigation, because if these kids go into those schools and provoke other kids, then that means those kids will have an excuse to bring a gun to school. Well, you can well imagine the convoluted logic, the trip into the netherworld that we're going to take with Jay Santos in just a few minutes. Dr. Herb Sewell will be with us on why women finally have to face the fact, you women who have ex-husbands that never see the kids, that don't have custody of the kids, never spend much time with their kids, you have to face the fact not only did you pick a lousy husband, but you picked a lousy father. And so that's going to be Herb, because he happens to be one himself. He never sees his kids. Dr. Herb Sewell coming up on the Phil Hendricks Show. But first, in the news today, the Republican Party is doing everything that it can not to get George Bush elected president. They will do everything that they can to continue to pander to that wing of their party, which has strangled, continually and consistently strangled the living life right out of them every time they've been involved in a crucial election. Had it not been for the fact that the Republican Party continues a meaningless bloodletting and just utterly futile association with the religious right, Bush probably would have been elected by a landslide. But because these Republicans, who aren't any brighter than their friends across the aisle on the Democratic side, want to do what they can to pander to this questionable wing of their party, I don't know, these guys must raise a lot of money. That's all I can tell you. This religious right must raise millions. That they would even give them the time of day, that they would even stop to sniff a fart that they collectively launched, that they would even stop to say, how do you do, before they just hustled themselves out of the restaurant. They got a Republican senator now who wants to reinstitute the draft? What is it with these people? Are they trying to self-destruct before our very eyes because it's just, what, every so often it's fun to watch? Don't you understand, you idiot, that there's a generation of college students out there upset with the fact that they were born too late to take part in the anti-Vietnam free love movement of the 60s. You know, introducing the draft is going to create another draft card burning, hell no, we won't go nostalgia scene. And it'll be so dull compared to the real thing 30 plus years ago. Then you're going to have the mothers and the fathers from Iowa and Kansas mourning the coffins coming home. And once again, we're going to hear the soapboxing about the futility of war. And why? Because of some Republican brain surgeon who wants to start the draft again. You want to have a bigger problem you've ever could ever possibly imagine about the war in Iraq. Go ahead and try to get that one going. On top of that, Michael Powell is weighing in about a proposed a law that would strip radio stations and television stations, which basically means radio stations, of their license if they get convicted of the third straight time for indecency. Some kind of pandering, meaningless, off the mark, completely, you know, miss the target kind of idea like that. They wouldn't know what the American people think about this if you force them to spend night after night, week after week, month after month, sleeping in the same bed with half of us. You guys that call yourselves the less is better, you know, less government is better people, you know, you so-called conservatives, you guys break all records for hypocrisy when it comes to the way you want to shove your noses into the bedrooms, into the listening habits, into the TV viewing habits, into the movie viewing habits of the American people. You break every record there is for hypocrisy, and you make it tougher and tougher to get this guy Bush reelected, which, frankly, he needs to be, because Kerry's going to be a disaster. Unless this happens. Terror strike hits America. The American people finally wake up and realize that if we want the kind of life we claim we want, we're going to have to fight for it. The terrorists in hitting America send the tacit message that they would really prefer Kerry to be president. The American people wake up to that canard, and so does Kerry. So he starts talking tough. Pretty soon he starts talking tougher than Bush. So Kerry then gets elected president, and he's even more of a badass than Bush is over in Iraq. So the Al-Qaeda guys just bought themselves the original 800-pound gorilla when they were hoping for something more reminiscent of Bonzo the Chimp. So that could happen too. See, they what happens is foreign governments, foreign entities have always misread American opinion. The Germans did it in World War II. The Japanese did it. They don't understand really how Americans think. And we are fairly slow to act. But when we do act and when we do get angry, we launch into all systems go pretty fast. So I don't even know what the hell it is I'm talking about with that terror strike. But I will tell you this. I think they are so stupid, these Al-Qaeda cats, when it comes to what makes us tick over here, that they're going to try to do something between now and the election in order to get Bush out of here. They don't want him. Man, they don't want him at all. Man, they don't want him. They want to get that Kerry guy. And sooner or later, Kerry is going to get so disgusted with the world's opinion of him as being a Francophile, snowboarding, dallying kind of bon vivant. You know, here's a cat that had the guts to say to George Bush, you can't speak to me about the experience of war. Well, if that's the case, Kerry, you can't speak to anybody else about the experience of the middle class, since what you specialize in is spending another man's money by marrying their wives, their widows, and their daughters. In fact, have you ever made an honest dollar in your life, other than just living off of some broad's money? What do you know about the middle class? Here's a cat that sees living off of that ketchup dough right now. Next thing you know, he's going to marry the mustard queen. Probably be Mean Mr. Mustard's daughter. And any other condiment. I'm going to call him the condiment president. So he doesn't know anything, but on top of him not knowing anything, now we got a Republican Party that is these right-wingers with their let's reinstitute the draft and, oh yeah, let's find more radio stations for content. What exactly do you guys represent? You know, I used to think that maybe it was simply the Democrats that were anti-Bush and had nothing else to say. I'm not even sure the Republicans know what it is they represent. I don't think these guys have a philosophy other than whatever makes some Bible thumper happy is okay with them, and whatever sounds tough and acts tough and walks tough, maybe that's a good idea. But a philosophy? Keeping government off of our backs? Meanwhile, we're regulating speech worse than anything that anybody, I think, could even imagine. I can't remember a time in the history of this country where they told people they couldn't say this, that, or anything else with such an earnestness that this government all of a sudden misreading the public sentiment again, yet again misreading the public sentiment on speech. They want to fine radio stations and TV stations for content. They ain't fining television stations for, they wouldn't fine those guys, man, for showing up with the wrong colored tie on. They're going to fine radio stations and put them out of business. That's what that means. There's never been bigger government. Never could ever be bigger government than a government that is dipping its muddy mitts into the First Amendment. And who's doing it? The Republicans. Are you crazy? You better get whoever's in charge of that party who has any influence, you better get this guy Bush on the right track on this thing. He's got to reject these Bible thumpers, get off of that gay amendment, that gay marriage amendment, get off of this kick with the FCC, and get your freaking nose out of that let's reinstitute the draft talk. What you need to do is put a big sign up there in the recruiting offices that says, by the way, you may have to fight in a war. Sincerely, Uncle Sam. Now this guy, Kerry, has married, what's her name, Annie Heinz? So now he's also, you know, he's been seeing Sue Lee Soy Sauce, and when he starts dating her, and Julie Relish, Linda Mayonnaise, and Amanda Horseradish. How do you like that guy? What is it with him?
Well, I have all this war experience.
Good for you, you got a lot of war experience. Why don't you go play with your medals? What do you think? You know, here's the thing. Americans have such a problem talking straight when it comes to, with war veterans. War veterans should be honored. Doesn't mean they're qualified to be president. It means they're deserving of honor, and it means they're deserving of respect. Doesn't mean they're deserving of a vote. And so far, all that jackass has been able to come up with is, I fought in Vietnam and I got a Bronze Star. Other than that, he hasn't got a thing to say. And when he talks about the middle class, oh man, you're funny, man. You're very funny. That's a real comedy routine. This guy's got, he's been living off of this Amanda Hines money for so long that the only thing she asked him to do is to make sure he puts it on his hot dogs. So he puts it on his hot dog. Every night. I'm kidding. Oh, here come what? You gonna find me? Huh? Why'd you find me? Why'd you give me a fine? Oh, you good, less government is better government, Republican, conservative, Michael Powell. I was never the daughter my daddy wanted, so I guess I'm gonna have to be half the son. Why'd you give me a fine? Because I said Kerry wants to put mustard on his hot dog nightly for his wife. What is it, sexual innuendo? Is that what that is? It is not legitimate satire. It's not a legitimate satirical reference to a guy who has no knowledge of the middle class. Do you understand that I have to explain this so that if some imbecile from the FCC gets a letter that I can stand before the FCC and say, here's where you're wrong, here's where I'm right. I'd have to put out all this money to a lawyer and have to put out, I'd have to, because you don't think my company would back me up, do you? You don't think that the company that I work for would back me up if I got fined for having just said, Kerry puts, mustard? Kerry puts ketchup on his hot dog every night. You don't honestly think a legitimate satirical comment like that, dealing with the guy's lack of middle class, his inability to be conversant with the middle class, you don't think that my company would actually go to the wall for me because I made a legitimately satirical comment about that, do you? No, it'd all be coming out of my pocket. But you know what? I got enough. I got just enough. My money and Pelton's. If you could sell just a little more of that crack, which we have I'm sorry, sir?
Yes, sir. I got your hot dog swinging it.
Thank you. Don't ever let those calls come through. I'd like you to better screen the show. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Coming up is Jay Santos on the anniversary of Columbine and the possibility that now violence on high school campuses won't be just random. It could be relative to terrorism. And Dr. Herb Sewell on women. Admit it. Your ex-husbands are not only bad husbands, they're lousy fathers. It's your mistake, not anybody's else. Not anybody else's. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Jay Santos on our show tonight, the head of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, the Brigadier Admiral. In fact, he's just a rank lower than Major Elvis Newton. They're a volunteer police agency who believes that the real problem with violence on campuses hasn't even yet been addressed. Because a lot of these geeks that want to pay back bullies, some of them may be co-opted by terrorists. Some may actually be in the pay of Al-Qaeda. Dr. Herb Sewell on you women, why don't you quit talking about your husbands? It's your fault. Why don't you just admit the fact that you had lousy judgment when it came to men as fathers and husbands? Okay, so if he's late with a child support, what do you expect? 1-800-449-8686. Jermaine Jackson is in the Gulf of whatever the hell it's called down there, the Gulf of Arabia or something? What is it? The Gulf down there in the Arab Gulf. To promote understanding between Muslims and his fellow Americans, he said Muslims are the new Negroes in America. What do you say, folks, about entertainers who suddenly become spokespeople? Look, I'm an entertainer, but I don't have any illusions about anybody taking me seriously. If you want to take me seriously, then what you can do is check out the things I say by researching other sources. You don't just follow what I say. But what do you think about people like Jermaine Jackson, the entitled son of the African-American middle class in this country? That's right. That's right. Jermaine Jackson, whose family profited, obviously, from the labors of he and his brothers. His father was an abuser. But through all of that, he can't bring himself to address the real problem, which is probably daddy. He's talking about how Muslims are, when he says the new Negroes, in other words, they are the new suffering people who have to go. You know, I'm going to tell you something right now, Jermaine. I would welcome debating an imbecile like this any day of the week. You remember back when I was calling out people like, who is that dumbass? John Mellencamp. I called his manager. Oh, big fans, Phil. Yeah, right. Well, can I get John on my show? Why? Well, because he said some stupid stuff on his website. Nah, John doesn't want to do that because, you know, he just wants people to discuss it. What's to discuss? What, discuss what? It's like discussing graffiti. For a good time, call Amelia. Yeah, let's discuss that. Jermaine Jackson's a convert to Islam. Well, no, he ain't. He's a convert to the Nation of Islam. That ain't no Islam. That's some kind of ham, but it ain't Islam. And he's dressed in white Arab garb, and I bet you he's got himself an Islam name, too. Do you, Jermaine? What do they call you? Rahim, Rashid, Rashad, Rahu, Raul. What do they call you, man? Muhammad, Ali, Ali, Muhammad? Maybe they're calling you Cassius Clay. And I bet you wear the robe all over the place, and I bet you wear the badge of being a Muslim all over the place, don't you? And then you speak the Muslim line, which is, we mistreat Muslims in America. I haven't seen any mosques blown up lately, like I have seen synagogues spray-painted with swastikas. And he says, you know, that America, he disagrees with us being in Iraq. He doesn't even know the first reason why we're in Iraq. He couldn't begin to tell you with the first breath he ever drew why we're... He couldn't say with the first breath he ever drew, Dada. By the way, we just found out that Jermaine Jackson's Islamic name is now officially George Foreman. 1-800-449-8686. Jack?
Yes.
Yes, sir, Jack. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
Why are you picking on John Kerry?
I'm sorry.
He married into Heinz ketchup.
I'm so sorry.
What's that got to do with him feeling anything for the middle class?
He doesn't know anything about the middle class. He said that Bush didn't know anything about war. He doesn't know anything about the middle class.
He's a Democrat.
He's an imp. So what? He's a Democrat. It means he's got his hand out.
You claim to be a Democrat.
Glad you're listening.
This guy married a woman with money. Big deal.
That's fine, but just don't say that he knows anything about the middle class when he's going to bag Bush for not knowing anything about war.
He was in Vietnam. He was a true
American.
Excuse
me, what does he know about living like a middle-class working stiff?
He got three Purple Hearts.
You look at you. You're not a Democrat. You're just a guy that sits there and sort of toes the line. You don't even know what it means to be a Democrat. You're talking about Purple Hearts. I'm talking about economics now.
Why are you getting down on him for marrying a rich lady? That's
I'm simply
I
saying, I already answered your question. I can do
he
it again. And the answer to the question
money.
Is this. He doesn't know anything about the middle class any more than George Bush knows about combat.
Well, what do you think about George Bush?
Wait a minute. Are we talking about John Kerry now? Because
no,
you lost
We're
that argument, you want to shift the discussion to George Bush. Is that it?
That's what you just did. I'm saying...
No, I originally made the comparison, which you missed. So I'm restating the comparison.
All right. Listen, have you paid...
You got anything about other brilliant things to say here, Jack?
Yes.
What?
Yes, I do.
What's
have
that?
You ever paid such high prices for gasoline? Under Clinton, I'm telling you, gasoline prices were very low.
Let me say this, Jack, about
under
gasoline
Bush,
prices. Let me tell you some
high,
about gasoline prices. Can I tell you, can I explain
Go
gas
ahead.
Prices? John Kerry said he's going to tough talk the countries that sell us oil. What's he going to say to Saudi Arabia that's going to get the price any lower?
I don't know what he's going to say.
Thanks for voting for John Kerry. I don't know what he's going to say, but he's better than Bush, isn't he? Jesus. You better check those diapers, man. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Born again.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I got a guy, not just a guy, I got a lot of people who write me and say, how come, like Phil, when you're talking about Israel, how come America won't support the Arabs? That's all we want. We want some support. You know, there's a statement today by Mubarak. You know Mubarak, he's the dictator of Egypt. He says that the Arabs hate Americans now more than ever before. And, of course, I respond to that with, when did they ever love us? When the hell have they ever liked us? Like this is a news flash? How come you guys don't support the Arabs? Well, what do you want? We want just as many weapons and missiles and guns as the Israelis have to defend themselves. We want that to defend ourselves. To defend yourselves. Yes. Aha. So you want us to believe, based upon history, that the Arab states only want to defend themselves against the Israelis. You have no interest in using those weapons preemptively. No! In fact, it's the Israelis who are the ones that always preemptively attacked us. Why, look at the Six-Day War. Yeah, you're right, man. They did fly in and destroy the Egyptian Air Force as Egyptian tanks were massed in the Sinai Desert, and Nasser had just been on radio saying, we're going to drive the Zionists into the Mediterranean once and for all. Yeah, I suppose they did act a little preemptively. But when your neighbor is loading a shotgun ready to come next door and blow your freaking face off, man, maybe you can be forgiven for, let's say, just getting things going a little early. Now, you guys think that we're going to turn over to the likes of that clown in Syria, that Assad, who's a dictator, Mubarak, who's a dictator, Abdullah, who's an imbecile, the whoever the hell is running the show down in Saudi Arabia, etc., etc., you really think we're going to give them nuclear weapons? You gave it to the Jews? First of all, we didn't give the Jewish people anything, man. But what we do give them is tactical support. We give them a hell of a lot of money, but they're perfectly capable of coming up with a nuclear weapon on their own. What we did give them were resources. Well, why don't you give us the same resources? Why don't we have the same amount of money? Look, if we give you cats the same bread that we're laying on the Israelis, you know what you're going to do with it? You're going to buy more freaking racehorses with it. That's what you're going to do. You got enough money right now from the oil sales to build one of the greatest armies the world has ever seen. You could build the next freaking Alexander the Great army. But what do you guys do, man? You build yourselves mansions, drive Mercedes-Benzes, and buy racehorses. Meanwhile, the Palestinians that you say you care about are sitting there rotting in a West Bank. What are you doing for them? You have the resources to do for yourselves. You got more bloody oil money than God's got freaking, green grass. There's 500 million Arabs, you imbeciles. With the resources the Arab people have today, they could build one of the world's greatest militaries. The problem is, and the problem has been, and the problem always will be, what do you think it is? What do you think the problem is? Class, what's the problem in the Middle East with the Arab people? Anybody got an idea? They got no leadership. They got no leaders. They don't have one credible leader. They've got some of the world's truly great imbeciles running those countries down there. They got those towel wrappers down there in Saudi Arabia who are the most disingenuous, backstabbing bunch of bastards the world has ever known. You got that guy Mubarak who you got to hold your nose and sit down and have a drink with. You got that kid in Syria, that Assad, who's every bit as much a scumbag like his father. You got the Iranians. Boy, there's a real, if you want to talk about the Mad Hatter's freaking tea party, take a look at that. We're going to give those guys all kinds of bread so they can build nuclear weapons. So what? Let me ask you a question. If the Israelis are such horrific people, how come they haven't used the nuclear weapons that they got yet on the Arabs? They could wipe out their enemies in the Middle East tomorrow with the tactical nuclear weapons they have. Why haven't they done it? Well, because America keeps them from doing it. Well, that could be true, yeah. Now, if you're willing to give us the same consideration, meaning if you think that you guys are going to use your weapons to attack Israel, you're going to have to just get a big fat no from us and you're going to have to love it. Are you willing to guarantee us that? I don't think so. We want to wipe out the Zionists. Well, guess what? No, you're not. You're not doing it with the guns we sold you. You can't tell us what to do. Look, you cats nationalize the oil companies, man. What makes you think that we're willing to trust the leadership in the Middle East now after all of the freaking lies they've told? It's bad enough having to deal with 5 million Israelis who are just about ready to set off the biggest nuclear war the world has ever seen down in the Middle East. It's bad enough how to try to keep the lid on those guys. We're going to keep the lid on that bunch of towel wrappers? It's impossible. Ultimately, historically, here's what happened. The Arabs decided that they wanted to be a part of the Soviet sphere of influence. And guess what happened? The Soviets ran out of money. They've never chosen the right side. They've never chosen the right way of doing things in the Middle East. And as a result, the Arab people have suffered at the hands of this unbelievably incompetent generation after generation after generation group of Middle Eastern leaders. And so the Arab people are lied to through their media, manipulated when they need to be manipulated, and will never ever really know the truth of what has happened to them and their countries and their lands. They could have been living in peace all these years, but Nasser, Assad, Ayatollah, even that Shah in Iran, who was one of the all-time dirtbags in history, all of these guys misrepresented, misled their people, and now you got what you got. You got a part of the world that just got their ass kicked by the U.S. Marines. You got a country that doesn't exist anymore, Iraq, and has got American troops sitting in it. You got Israel stronger than ever and the Palestinians weaker than ever. Are you going to blame all of that on the U.S. and Israel, or have your leaders down there in the Middle East, did they have anything whatsoever to do with it? Anything. And you've had some of the baddest ass cats going. That dude Nasser, man, he was a tough boy. He wanted the Pan-Arabic Republic, man. He wanted the true Pan-Arabic Republic. He wanted the Arab people together. That guy couldn't have been. And Gaddafi, boy, did we bring that guy to heel or what? That guy's like as toothless as a heel hound now. If you want me to be a little bit clearer, not only is he Tony Blair's bitch, but he's about ready to put a dress on for George Bush. That's how tough that guy is. How proud are you of these people? How could the Arab people possibly be proud of these leaders? Although I will say this, Gaddafi looks good in a skirt, and maybe it's a good role for him. 1-800-449-8686. Ryan, hello.
Hi, Phil. My name is Rylan.
Oh, it's Rylan. I'm sorry. I thought I said Ryan.
I'm sorry. Well, first off, I'd like to say that I love your show.
Thank you.
And I like your views. I actually just got out of the Marine Corps myself. I got diagnosed with cancer. And
I'm sorry, man. What do you got?
Testicular cancer.
So you know what? They can deal with that, man. That's not a problem.
Yeah, but anyways, I go to treatment about 2 hours from my house, and every day
I got two plastic nuts myself. It's fine, man.
Every day on the ride home, I listen to your show, and I agree with all your views. But I was just wondering, you know, you're slamming Jermaine Jackson earlier. I'm just curious as why, you know, you're slamming him. I mean, it's, you know, the guy.
I think he's using language that is, first of all, it's so perfunctory, inflammatory when you say the new Negroes in America are Muslims. If you know anything about the Jim Crow situation for black people in America in the 50s and 60s, Muslims are not treated anywhere near that way. Maybe some people don't like them, man, but you know what? Hey, it's a free country. The fact of the matter is our public accommodations and civil rights laws now guarantee public access for everybody. So to say that there is some kind of a Jim Crow situation for Muslims is typical of some entitled son of the black middle class.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, he's active duty to the NAACP. He actively supports, I don't know if you've heard of Sport and Waves Brill Cream for African-American hairdo products.
Gee, that's great. What is that?
I'm sorry?
What? He supports Brill Cream.
Brill Cream for African-Americans, hair products, you know, like grease and dippity-doo. And as far as a racism thing, and I don't think, obviously...
Martin Luther King was in that stuff, wasn't he?
Well, I think so.
Okay.
His aunt just got she's black also, she got her teeth repossessed by the sheriff. Because of a
well, all of those things together, the fact that the cat wears dippity-doo and his aunt doesn't have any teeth, I think, I understand your point now.
Have you ever heard of anybody getting their teeth repossessed? I mean, a white person? I mean, I just think...
I've heard of a lot of white people getting their teeth kicked in. So, I don't know. Well, I mean, at least she knows where to go to get her teeth. I've seen some guys get their teeth kicked in, and the next morning they crap them out and they can't get them anymore.
Well, I mean, it just, and I've listened to your show before, and I've heard you slam, like, Gary Coleman, or...
No, sir, I never slam Gary Coleman. Now what you're doing is, you're going to change history now because you can't make your point. Now you're going to lie because you can't make your point. Is that it, sir? I have
never.
I said I felt sorry for Gary Coleman. I don't think there's anything amusing about him.
The public that you're going to be on that person like peach fuzz on Gary Coleman.
You know what, Ryan? You're a lying sack of crap, okay? I hope the cancer spreads. See you later. You know something? That guy, that was a put on call. That was shtick. I just realized. It was total shtick. Dippity doo and her teeth repossessed, and then I was going to beat on Gary. Oh, I'm sorry, man. Well, if it's shtick, then he really doesn't have testicular cancer. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Right, we've just gotten word here that Jermaine Jackson has changed his name. He is now officially Muslim, as you know. His new Muslim name is Sugar Ray Leonard. So that's going to be, that'll be thrilling for him and his family. 1-800-44, what'd you say? Oh, I'm sorry, I got that wrong. It's Slappy White. 1-800-449-8686. Here on the Phil Hendry Show. Coming up, we have Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on kids who are in band or who are in the astronomy club at high school. Those may be the ones you got to keep an eye on as the next Columbine-style terrorists. Also, Dr. Herb Sewell on how women have screwed up their lives. They don't know how to pick men. What are you blaming your husband for not paying child support? You're the one that picked a bad husband and a bad father. All right, here is Alex. Hello, Alex. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, how's it going, Phil?
Fine, thank you.
Yeah, I just had a couple of comments about the U.S. being in Iraq, or still being in Iraq, rather. Do you think it's time to pull out anytime soon and just let the country, you know, basically bring themselves down? And, I mean, are we just wasting money here and increasing our national debt?
Increasing our national debt?
Yeah.
Well, the national debt already went in the toilet when three airplanes were flown into buildings. I mean, $40 billion right away to bail out the airline industry. We went into the hole immediately after 9/11. All of the surplus was wiped out because of the needs of New York City and the airline industry. This action in Iraq is in response to a need to take on terror organizations, a threat that's been known to this country, as we're finding out, since the early 1990s. And this is the president of the United States way, George Bush, of dealing with that. Now, some people say we shouldn't do that. Some people say that we should take on Al-Qaeda specifically. They're the ones that flew the planes into the building. Why don't we take on Al-Qaeda? Okay, fine. Right now, their leader sits in a hole eating rat meat or something of the like in Pakistan. How do we go into Pakistan? I guess we need their permission. What if they don't give us their permission? Do we sit there with a whole bunch of troops on the border waiting to invade but respecting their national integrity? Or do we go ahead and we get the guy? Or do we just forget about bin Laden and Al-Qaeda and just kind of buckle it down here in the United States, put on a lot of flak jackets, put up a whole bunch of metal detectors, get a bunch of gas masks, and just, you know, not go international with this thing, just sit here on our asses with our thumbs in our ears waiting for them to hit next. I personally go with the Iraq solution.
Right, stay there, huh?
Yeah, stay there, continue to do the job, and continue to educate the American people who are slow to this thing, because the shock of 9/11 and the world that we have been thrust into as the result of it hasn't yet sunk in with a lot of our more, shall we say, bourgeois friends out there.
Right. I think many people are still wondering where exactly were the weapons of mass destruction. And
who cares? Who gives a crap?
And
who cares?
Yeah, I sure don't.
Okay. Thanks for calling. Where are the weapons of mass destruction? I mean, Bush lied. Hey, if Bush lied, Kerry lied, Madeleine Albright lied, Joseph Biden lied, Tom Daschle lied, every last one of them is quoted a year or two before the event as saying, this guy's got him, we got to go in and take him out. Everybody was all in, hot and ready to take out Saddam Hussein. Everybody was convinced he had them weapons of mass destruction. Now they can't find him, they're all running for cover. All running for cover, man. I mean, these guys don't even have the guts to say that they were wrong. What they want to do is call another man a liar. It's a hell of a thing to call a guy a liar. Because you know what? It makes you look pretty stupid and pretty dishonest yourself. Okay, now there's two young men who realize that they are too stupid to do anything else with their lives but play football. And thus they are hoping that the National Football League will recognize their talent and let them play. And they are Maurice Claret and some other dumbass. Oh, Mike Williams. Now, Mike Williams goes to the University of Southern California, and when I say goes there, I use that term loosely, and Mike Claret goes to Ohio State. Both of these guys are imbeciles who couldn't spell cat if you spotted them the C and the A. But what they can do, they think, is play football. However, they're not yet seniors, not yet eligible for the National Football League draft. What do? They have gone to court to try to force the National Football League into allowing them to be part of a supplemental draft. That is, a draft whereby they could be drafted into the NFL as underclassmen. The NFL has gone to court to try to block that from happening. They say it's because they don't want smaller, weaker underclassmen players playing in the big, rough, tough NFL where they could get hurt. Like the NFL ever cared whether a guy got hurt or not. Like you guys care whether a guy gets hurt. The real reason, and the reason that they don't want to tell you, is because they obviously have a collective bargaining agreement with the union. The union is against it. The National Football League Players Association is against it. They don't want a bunch of young punks coming in and taking some of that good cheese that all the veterans and all the legitimate rookies are getting, okay? The NFL, I guess they're protecting the Players Association because what? They want to make the next negotiations go pretty good, so they're going to take the fall on this one. And they're the big bad guys. They don't want anybody in, and they have to spin it the best way they can, which is we don't want the young boys to get hurt. My advice to Maurice Claret and to this guy Williams, look, stupid. Try to get back into college. Maybe you can play next year. But you got to understand one thing. The National Football League has been protected in antitrust lawsuits since time began. Since time began, the NFL has been protected by every court in the union. You two imbeciles aren't going to get them to change anything, okay? So go back to class, go take your remedial reading, go back to the tutor, have her explain to you where babies come from, see if you can pass 2+2, go on out to the football field, maybe it'll have you back. But you ain't going into the NFL before the NFL says you're going to go into the NFL. So there. I'm Jermaine Jackson. We'll be right back.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Truth. Just. This is the Phil Henry Show.
The fifth anniversary of Columbine, one of the singularly most tragic days in American history, is upon us. With us is Jay Sanis from the Citizens Auxiliary Police, a volunteer police agency. They patrol neighborhoods in the South Bay. They are aligned with a variety of neighborhood watch organizations. Jay, thank you for joining us.
Phil, it's always my pleasure.
What does Columbine remind us that we have to do 5 years later?
So Columbine now, after 9/11 especially, I think, teaches us a great lesson that it teaches us the vigilance that we have to have with other people's kids. We've trusted other families and their children probably for not too long, but probably too much in our homes, in our schools, in our churches. Now, following 9/11, there's a threat of terror. So if you combine the fact that other parents do not have control over their children, and the fact that there are terrorist organizations that are trying to infiltrate United States society, you've got a deadly combination. The difference, I think, between Columbine and now is that kids that are in other families who want to go to schools and cause violence, it's no longer random. It's political. It could be contacted and used by terrorist groups.
What is Youth Watch of the Citizens Auxiliary Police?
Yeah, Youth Watch, Phil, is a program that we have started. We can better monitor the children of some of these people who now may have an ally in terrorist organizations.
Well, how do you do this? I mean, you're watching other people's young children more closely.
Well, the reason why Columbine happened is because parents allowed their kids to associate with other kids from other families who are not properly parented. Citizens Auxiliary Police does a Monday through Friday intervention patrol. When we see kids making their way onto different high school campuses throughout the greater South Bay area and selected communities across the country, we're going to stop the children, ask them their name, what school they are supposed to be going to, make sure that that checks out with where obviously they're going, make sure they said they are who they say they are, and we will also ask them the names of their parents. And at that time, we issue a standard warning. Citizens Auxiliary Police, because of the events of Columbine and 9/11, warns you that any attempted violence by you against our children, you know, it's not going to be good for you. Now, that is a warning that we think is going to go a long way. It sends a message to these kids and their parents. And
have you targeted members? Because I know that there's certain kids that you guys have targeted as being likely to cause violence.
Well, this is always tricky when you're talking with a lot of parents to say, well, because we say to parents, remember, these other parents who you trusted, you can no longer trust 100%. I'm not saying don't trust people, but you used to trust these other parents, and look what happened. Their kids went and got a gun and caused some problem. Now, what we're saying is this. There are certain groups, by virtue of what they do on campus, that naturally some kids won't poke some fun at, maybe have a little bit of fun. Those groups are...
Well, you mentioned band.
That's correct. Any kid in band, any kid in astronomy club, any kid in honor society, library club. There's also something called a gay-straight alliance. A lot of very unusual clubs on campus that naturally other kids are going to poke some fun at. When you poke fun at a kid in band, astronomy, gay-straight alliance, this kind of thing, that's what sets them off. That pushes them over the edge, and they want to go home and get a gun. And if they're in contact with a terrorist organization, some of these kids from these other families where they're not properly parented, they're going to commit violence. And so we do target kids that carry instrument cases into school. We tell them it is understandable a kid would want to push you around, since being in band is kind of odd.
Is it right to say it's understandable that some kid would want to push around another kid who's in band?
I don't know if it's right or wrong. I think it's understandable. You see some kid carrying a tuba case, and I know that when I was a kid, it was natural and push the kid around a little bit. You don't mean any harm. What we tell these kids is, even though you're in band, you're carrying a tuba case, and some kids might want to push you around, don't get it in your head that you're going to go home, get one of your dad's guns, come to school, call violence. Because the Citizens Auxiliary Police does want to take care of this kind of thing.
All right, we're talking with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. So far, you're telling me that the disturbing trend post-Columbine is that kids who commit violence now on campus could be allied with terrorist organizations.
That is correct. And that is what we have found out in subsequent events.
All right. And the kids that are going to cause violence on campus tend to be members of band, library.
Well, there's a listing on our website, Phil, of the kids most likely to cause some kind of psychotic violence on campus. And those are kids who get, you know, pushed around. And what I say to my son, who is a good boy, but he's naturally good natured, he's going to push around some kid that, you know, is carrying in a telescope or some deal like that, because, you know, kids think they're better than something else, is when you push that kid around, take note of who he is and what he looks like, because it's potential that he's going to get upset and go home and won't get gunned. So
you mentioned the Honor Society. Don't we encourage our young people to do well?
Yeah, of course you do. I don't understand.
Well, the Honor Society is students who are getting good grades in school, who are exemplary young people from the standpoint of taking advanced, you know, placement classes. Why would we suspect them of terrorism or of violence?
Because the Honor Society kids are the ones who walk around, who don't think, you know, it's like say, in the old days, don't think their stuff smells. So they're going to go out and they're going to say, you know, I'm something special. I got an A and you got a D. And so those are the ones that naturally kids are going to want to push around. It's a very natural thing.
Well, let's start there, though.
No, but Phil, I understand that, you know, a lot of parents... I'm talking about being vigilant to the point where you watch these kids of other parents, because we used to be able to trust other parents. We can't do it now. It used to be...
Well, you're saying that it used to be we could push around some kid from band, and he wasn't... And you could trust the other parents of that kid not to... you know, he's not going to go out and commit violence. Now we can't do that.
I'm saying... That is correct. Now we can't do that exactly. And
all right. Well, as I read this, and as you have articulated, Jay Santos with us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. More than anything, Columbine teaches us the vigilance we need to have with other people's children in our homes, our schools, and our churches, because we can't trust other parents any longer.
Unfortunately, that is true. That is true. But what we're trying to do as the Citizens Auxiliary Police is we're trying to preempt violence on campus. So when we do see kids that are likely to be violent coming onto campus, we will ask names. We will ask...
Have you had any problems with... You're going to ask them their names? You're looking inside their instrument cases?
Instrument cases.
Just kids in band or anybody?
If kids that are in band, honor society. Particularly kids that are in band. You want to look inside the instrument case. I realize it's kind of a hackneyed old cliche, but a lot of old gangster movies, you see an old gangster movie... We see a guy carrying a violin case. A lot of time he had a Tommy gun or something in there. And I'm not saying the kids are going to do that, but I'm saying it is obviously a place where you can hide weapons. The Citizens Auxiliary Police is simply going beyond what the police are doing to protect our kids from other people's children who are provoking the problem. And it's too bad we can't trust other people's kids, but that's just the way it is, Phil. So we will be conducting searches of kids in a variety of schools across America. Looking in band, looking in the instrument cases, looking in their binders, looking in different places to make sure there's no weapons. And these will only be...
I'm going to have a problem with you stopping my kid, okay?
But we're not stopping everybody.
Okay, but...
We're not stopping every kid. We're only stopping kids that we think are going to be likely to commit some kind of a psychotic act. And that is, a lot of these egghead kids think you're better than everybody else. Band and so on and so forth. Astronomy clubs, so on and so forth.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Columbine, 5 years later. What's the rub? Well, the rub is that these kids liable to commit violence on campus could be doing so at the behest of terror organizations. And how do you stop it? One of the ways you stop it is by targeting the kids most susceptible to committing violence on campus. The ones that are kind of the outcasts, the oddballs, the kids that are in band, the kids that are in the astronomy club, the kids that are in the honor society. As proud as we must be of those kids, they are the ones most likely of being pushed around and thus becoming psychotic. Jay Santos and his group, the Citizens Auxiliary Police, have a program called Youth Watch, where they are stopping and checking kids as they go into school, asking names, parents' names, looking inside of instrument cases, binders, book bags, so on and so forth. Do we need this now? Is it possible that Columbine has introduced a new generation of young people committing violence on campus at the behest of Al-Qaeda? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Shock and awe meets your radio dial. The Phil Henry Show is back.
That kind of thing.
All right, Jay Santos is back with us, the Citizens Auxiliary Police. On the 5th anniversary of Columbine, who are the kids most likely to commit violence? They are the children of your friends, the children of other parents who don't parent them properly. You mentioned suspicion of other parents now.
It's not suspicion, Phil. I think we need a healthy skepticism now about other parents. We trusted them, and our trust was misplaced. The kids went out, committed violence. You trust a parent one day, and then their kid goes out and blows your head clean off. You're not really going to want to trust them again. So all the kids, by the way, have choices as to which group to join in high school. Some choose to play volleyball. Some choose to play in the pep band. When I was in high school, I enjoyed a pep band. We are simply keeping special eye on these non-athletic kids because they're filled with hate and easily swayed to terrorist activity on account of some, you know, understandably wants to push around some kid.
Were you pushed around in pep band?
No, pep band's there. I'm talking about band. Pep band, we played at pep rallies and the like. But band was the regular kids that march around and it's kind of suspicious and, you know, you naturally want to push them around.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Go to Gina. You're on with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on the Phil Hendry Show. Gina, go ahead.
Yes, sir. My problem is that's an invasion of my child's privacy. If you got a problem, I mean, if you should not invade my child's privacy, going through his book bag, going through his binder, that's an invasion of his privacy. How would you like somebody just to stop you on the street and go through your bags and such?
Well, ma'am,
you
know, I'm not a member of the band.
No.
I was in pep band. I wasn't in band.
Well, it doesn't matter. My child's not in band, but he's a quiet one, and sometimes he gets picked on. But I know my child's upbringing, and I know what he's getting at home, and I know that my child is not going to go to school, I mean, not come home and get a gun and go to school and shoot everybody up. I know that.
Well, ma'am, you'd be certainly understand if we can't take your word for that, and I wish I could. But if your child is the quiet type and doesn't want to talk to nobody, naturally I want to target him as a possible 681, which is a potential criminal insanity.
Now, well, you can't call
him. If you target him, you're going to have a problem with me.
Let me jump in. Jay, what do you mean criminal insanity?
It is simply police code. It's got no comment on the young man. However, I'm not, ma'am, all we're doing is taking a peek around the boy's book bag. Has he got any kind of a weapon that we could that he might cause mass mayhem with? If not, he's certainly free to go.
It doesn't matter. You know, my child, the school that my child's in does have a metal detector when you go in. That's all that's needed. You don't have to do searches and this, that, and the other. If you've got probable cause, if you think, I mean, if somebody comes to you and tells you, yes, he's got a weapon, yeah, I mean, I agree with that. But when you target him, that is profiling, and that is against the law to profile somebody.
No, it is only against the law to profile African-Americans. It is not against the law to profile a quiet, you know, I'm assuming your boy's white?
Correct.
So that is totally legal.
Well, why
no,
is that
it's
legal?
Not. Profiling is profiling.
No, you may not profile Arabs or blacks, but whites, it is still under the, I believe the Supreme Court took this up last summer. And a young person, you say your son's not in band. Now, a lot of deal with band. A lot of those cases are lead-lined. The X-ray machines do not pick up what could be in it. A kid might think he's got a tuba. Well, if I'm going to trust a kid's got a tuba, and next day I find myself dead, what do you say to that?
Are you in the school system?
No, ma'am, I'm not. But let's just say that
Well, then
I was,
how can you find yourself dead
well,
if you're
ma'am,
not
let's
the
say that
system?
I was an administrator. Let's say I was an administrator, and I trusted a kid was carrying in a French horn. The next day I'm laying there. And I'm pushing my own intestines back into my abdomen. I find.
Well, there's no need to be that graphic, sir.
I'm sorry, but I'm trying to give the lady the truth.
That's just profiling. And
yeah.
You know what? I'm with the Scouts. I work a lot with the Boy Scouts of America. You know, and the thing about
mm-hmm.
it is
yes,
we
ma'am.
Have connections with the NAACP also. And if you start picking on my child, profiling is profiling. You say it's against African Americans.
Technically,
and,
it is allowed.
You know what?
White kids
I can
with
go
the
to the
French
NAACP, horn. And they will support me.
All right, listen. I thank you very much for your call. Is it Gina? Thank
uh-huh.
you, Gina. 1-800-449-866. You made a statement. Profiling is legal against whites.
Technically, profiling is legal against white kids with French horns. And why we say that is because they're, you know, carrying in a musical case, you're going to have the potentiality of creating mayhem with a weapon of violence. African-American children are not generally in schools where they can afford the music programs. And so a black kid with a tuba is, yeah, it's ridiculous. You're just not going to see that. What we're trying to do...
What do you mean a black kid with a tuba? You're not going to see that.
Sir, what I'm trying to do...
Mr. Santos, what I'm hearing here is what the lady said. You're targeting certain kids for their membership in certain groups. 1-800... Let me just get another call here. 1-800-449-8686. Craig, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, my question to your guest, Phil, is that... Are you a commissioned police officer?
I'm with Citizens Auxiliary Police. We are a volunteer police group aligned with Neighborhood Watch. But we do have a blue armband. We're completely identifiable.
So you're not a commissioned police officer.
Well, I don't know what you mean by that. I mean,
do you have a degree in psychology?
Well, you don't have to have a degree in psychology.
Do you have a degree in psychology?
No, I don't.
Do you have a degree in psychiatry?
Well, no, I do not. Do you?
No, I have a degree in business administration, and I know damn well
that you
are not going to search my kid.
Sir, I have the right to stop and search.
I'd be on your front porch beating you over the head with your own arms.
Well, then you got a problem.
No, you have the problem.
Then you're going to have a problem with myself and other members of Citizens Auxiliary Police.
I won't have any problem with you, pal, because I'll just...
I can tell you this much. Under the Constitution of the United States...
You one thing. Where do you operate out of?
Under the Constitution of the United States...
Where do you operate out of?
Excuse me, sir, but under the Constitution of the United States...
Where do you operate out of?
Let me say again, sir, under the Constitution of the United States, we do have the right to citizen's arrest and stop and search and seizure.
Well,
as a citizen of the United States.
Because I tell you what,
you've never heard
of my kid, you won't arrest anybody.
Well, sir, then
you're
going to
tell you.
I don't want to have to.
You sound like you're from the South. Are you operating in the Southeast somewhere?
No, sir, I operate out of Southern California. I'm originally from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, sir, so that shows what you know. Number two.
I'll tell you what. Don't ever bring yourself to Washington because you will be in a world of hurt.
Sir, you're going to have a problem with me.
Up here, we pride our privacy. And
well,
if you touch my kid, I'll be kicking your butt on your front porch.
I'm sure all you people up in Washington like to keep your, incest quiet and everything, but I'm sure...
All right, that's not necessary.
Well, that's what he's talking about.
Wait a second.
On your front porch, dragging
sir, every Thursday
your
night,
and beating you about the head, neck, and shoulder.
Look, if you rip my arms
that's
off...
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, then you're going to have a problem.
You have a problem because you'll be a bloody heap laying on your own front porch for your wife to see.
I can assure you that every Thursday night, Brigadier...
If my boy or my girl, I tell you what, you will never breathe through your lungs again.
Well, all right, so you want to be...
We're straight.
You want to be the only one to touch your boy and your girl.
You're in a station in Southern California...
I didn't hear you, Craig.
To you quickly.
Well, I don't agree with you, Craig. And by the way, if you're the only one that gets...
I don't care if you agree with me or not, but you come north of Oregon, and we're going to show you...
Well, actually, we are planning on going up there next week.
Yeah, if you do, where are you going to be?
We're going to be in Tacoma, Washington.
Really? Doing what?
We're going to be checking all the book bags and everything, making sure the kids aren't carrying French horns and flugelhorns.
I'll tell you what, you better bring your guns.
Well, Craig,
if you don't,
look,
we got ours.
I understand you want to be the only one touching your daughter and your son. I get that.
No, I'm not at all. A man's a man. What I'm telling you is,
wait a second.
If you touch him, you best never come to Olympia, because if you touch any of my kids,
Craig, there's plenty there to go around.
I'll beat you before you ever get on a plane.
There's plenty there to go around.
I'll tear you every which way.
Well, I'll give you a call after we allow your kid to walk into school with a trombone, and the next thing we're body parts are in the gymnasium.
Am I straight?
No, you're not. You're gay.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Jay Santos with us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. I got a complaint here from a Sandy and Jim Caruso. They claim that you took their daughter's trumpet case, you opened it. Somebody by the name of Subcommander Nielsen did an odor check on the instrument and said it was hot and began confiscation of that trumpet. What does that mean?
Basically, what that means is you can do an odor check on that and make sure there's any explosive powder. It was Subcommander Nielsen's determination that he confiscated trumpet. And certainly we were not in a position to disagree with him on that. Now, my feeling is this, Phil.
Don't you understand that these are children going into school who are going to band practice, being confronted by some people who may or may not have the constitutional powers you claim that your organization has?
Well, hold on for a minute, Mr. Anderson. There's one thing that I do know. It is the law. And the law says that I have every right, as with powers under citizen's arrest, to check any student going into any school for the possibility of them committing violence. Let me just say that...
No, no, Mr. Santos...
Now, hold on for a minute, Mr. Randy, because I've listened to your callers, and I've listened to you insult me, and I've listened...
I haven't insulted you, sir. I've asked you some pointed questions.
Well, just 5 years ago, Mr. Henry, 5 years ago, two scumbags went out on the campus of High School America, and they committed acts of violence. It's the job of the Citizens Auxiliary Police to make sure that not happen again. Now, those are two students who are Honor Society members.
You talking about this guy, Klebold and Harris?
I'm talking about Klebold and Harris. These guys, as far as I know, they were in the band and were Honor Society members. In other words, the kind of geek, the kind of dork and geek that we keep our eye on. We deal with these geeks every day. I can tell you, Citizens Auxiliary Police deals with this kind of geek and dork every day. I see this scum coming through here with their tuba bags, their tuba cases, and everything. I'm getting sick, and I'm getting tired of seeing this trash parading through our subcommander substations with their tuba cases and flugelhorns. And I can tell you right now that I will do my job, the Citizens Auxiliary Police, to check these kids out.
But you're scaring a lot of these kids, and you're also making a lot of these parents angry.
It was the trust we had of other parents and their kids that led us down the horrific road to Columbine. We trusted these parents, we trusted their kids. And what did we get in return? We got all shot up and blowed up. I can tell you it's not going to happen again.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686 is the number. If you just joined us, Jay Santos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Are you in a substation right now?
We are in one of our substations, right, Robert, Subcommander Nielsen's home right now.
And you're claiming that you have the right to stop and check kids to see if they're going to commit violence on campus, this being the fifth anniversary of Columbine. Additionally, the kids most likely to commit violence are the geeks and the dorks and the ones that belong to astronomy clubs and band.
That is correct.
Even though you said you were in the pep band.
I was in pep band. I was in pep band. That's totally different from band.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Rachel, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Rachel?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Go right ahead, ma'am.
I want to know if he is checking everybody or picking on just the band members.
Oh, no, ma'am. Not just band, members of Astronomy Club, Honor Society, organizations.
I can understand if you pick a day and you just check everybody's bag.
Yes, ma'am.
When you're targeting just specific groups, to me that is wrong. Because if your child...
It's profiling, like the other lady said.
Not to pick on the people in band. The band people wouldn't turn around and shoot anybody.
Well, ma'am...
So, what are you... Do you go to church?
I'm sorry, that's really not beyond the purview of my duty as
Citizens
Auxiliary Police.
Do you teach your child that every other child is a child of God?
We're not going to stand by and have some dork pull a weapon out of his
saxophone
case.
If your child is not
picking
on the dork in band... The band child will not feel the need to go get a gun.
That's what I wanted to say.
So maybe you need to teach
well,
the other children.
Well, ma'am, I think it's entirely understandable for a kid to push a geek
no,
around.
No, it's not.
Well, no, I'm not saying push him around bad. I'm saying my son pushes around a lot of kids in band.
And you need to teach your son that is wrong.
Ma'am, don't you think it's understandable that a kid with a violin case is going to get pushed around? Of course
you
it is.
You know what? I play violin. I play band and regular band. And I am going to make my 10-year-old son play band because music
well, I can tell
is
you
good all around
band.
Education.
The band child has chosen music over sports. That means they've, you know, some kids are going to have a bone to pick with them.
Wait a minute,
you know
you're not hearing
Why
what this
don't
lady
you
said,
teach
man.
Those sports kids to not pick on the band kids.
You're talking about kids who choose to be musicians. And,
no,
and
I'm
you
not.
No,
my
no, no, no. I'm talking to.
Get...
No, this is the host, ma'am. This is Mr. Hendry.
This is Mr. Santos.
Sorry.
Thank you.
That's right.
I'm saying that the kid in band is the kid who is being picked on in wrongfully because he's simply chosen a different path in life. And you're saying it's entirely understandable for some kid to pick on a kid in band.
I think it's a lot of fun. No. We don't mean to. You're not trying to push
that
the kid over the edge to become psychotic. Well, you don't want the kid to become psychotic. Look, do you
what
think
I want to know
just because the kid gets pushed around because he's got a flugelhorn case?
All right, listen, thank you for your call. Are you listening to anybody?
I'm listening. Look, just because a kid gets pushed around because he carries, you know, he's playing bassoon, now he's going to go get a gun? I think that kid's got trouble.
Here is Bob. Bob, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Mr. Henry.
Yes, sir.
This guy has to be a farce. Has to be a farce. And I'm hoping.
I want to ask you something, Mr. Santos. Are you kidding me with this?
Why would I kid about the murder of I don't know how many students and teachers at Columbine? Why is that a joke? You generally find that
not
funny?
I don't find it funny.
Well, then why would you begin to think that we're going to do...
You're there.
I'll tell you right now, we have gone in and we've monitored one of these band practices, and I'll tell you what. This is a whole room full of potential terrorists. They watch their faces.
Look, you're indicting kids who play band as being potential terrorists because it's completely legitimate to push around some kid in band. Because your kid pushes some kid around. And what do you mean you've seen this scum and their flugelhorn cases come walking in and out of your substation?
I have. I see them all the time. One scumbag with a tuba case after the next.
Well, I can tell you, Mr. Santos, in the future, what you should consider is the harm that you're doing going through some kid's saxophone case, making sure he hasn't got a Tommy gun, because you saw it in a gangster movie.
Well, I did.
Well, that's good for you.
The movie about Machine Gun Kelly.
I don't care what movie it was about. Oh, hi. I have a violin case, but there's actually a machine gun in it, and I'm going to go out and do a Columbine.
Hold on for a minute.
RX-53.
Yeah, look at that. Look at that.
What?
I got a report to some kid down here. He's got a... Sounds like he's probably got something like a flute case, and he's in dire need. He needs to have his ass kicked.
Well, why don't you go down and kick his ass, okay?
All right.
Roger, front mine. It's all mine.
Going to go and beat some kid up with a flute case. You know what his problem is? He's just not musical. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The eighth wonder of the world. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Coming up, we have Dr. Herb Sewell on... It's really an interesting... I think it's going to be an interesting conversation with a guy who believes it's time for women to admit their mistakes. They don't know how to pick men. If you got a husband, an ex-husband who doesn't spend time with the kids, if he's a non-custodial parent who doesn't want to be with his kids, it just means that you picked the wrong guy, not only to marry, but to father your kids. Guys that don't pay their child support, you picked the wrong guy. Guys that take off, you picked the wrong guy. Maybe you already know it. But Dr. Sewell says that you really have got to start taking way more of the blame to the point where men who do not pay their child support should not be legally held to it. Now, what do you think of that? That's extreme. Like a lot of the crap that we throw at you on this show. 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget the Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2003 CD, The Death of Talk Radio, is available online at www.philhendryshow.com or by calling 877-616-7445. 877-616-7445. Now, The Passions of the Christ is... not going to be seen on TV anytime soon. Why? Because it violates their standards. In this post-Janet Jackson climate, you know, we had two major events, two huge events involving boobs, 9/11 and Janet Jackson. In the one event, we had something like 19 boobs or whatever the hell. In the other, just one, but they all caused the same cataclysm. The world as we know it has changed. Remember when the world, remember pre-Janet Jackson? You remember pre-boob? Now everybody's on their best behavior. Anyway, television doesn't want to show the Passions of the Christ because it will violate their standards for violence. And we all know that those guys have the highest standards when it comes to audience. Television being what it is, they have the highest standards. Look, they may have very high standards for all I know. This is a film that's going to make more money than Titanic. Now, how could you keep that off of your airwaves? Well, one reason, and only one reason that I can think of, maybe there is something to this anti-Jewish hysteria, this anti-Semitic hysteria that's going on. Maybe there really is something to this. It doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense at all. This is the same group of, this is the same network that showed Schindler, not the same network, but the same TV industry that showed Schindler's List. Schindler's List had horrific violence. It had guys getting shot. It had guys getting their heads blowed off. It had little children getting killed. It had corpses. It had gas chambers. It was the most, heart-rending, disgusting, appalling, and ultimately educational film I'd ever seen on television. If you want my honest opinion, I mean, the last time TV ever put a film on like that was, I don't know, what, High Plains Drifter? Rawhide? Combat? I don't know. Schindler's List, it was fine. But Passions of the Christ, it ain't. Now, how come that is? Passions of the Christ is going to make $500 million domestic, over $1 billion international. It's a huge movie. Is it because some of these guys are afraid that they look like idiots because they thought the thing was going to be a stiff? Is that it? Or is there something to this feeling that the film is anti-Semitic? Now, I'm trying to be as... Hey, look, Scarface, thank you very much. My good friend Benjamin here just reminded me the networks had no problem putting Scarface on. Scarface! They took a chainsaw to a guy's arms in that movie. Remember that? That was a fantastic scene. And there's, what's-his-face, Al Pacino running around with a bad Cuban accent. That movie, just I got to tell you, Scarface was horrible. Horrible, not because it was violent, but because I laughed my ass off through the whole movie. Just listening to Pacino try to do a Cuban accent was worth the price of admission for me. I died watching that movie. I almost strangled from the laughter watching that thing. Are you kidding me? A classic. Anyway, they showed that flick on TV, but they don't want to show this Passions of the Christ. Now, I got to ask myself why, and the question I keep coming, or the answer keeps coming down to, the industry's offended by it. That's just all I'm going to say. The TV industry is offended by the movie. The TV industry doesn't want to have anything to do with that movie because they're deeply offended by it. Now, okay, I just said it, and I guess that means that, you know, I'm not going to get my pilot on the air. I won't go to series like I'm really going to cry and, you know, I'm going to just rub my eyes. I mean, if I said something that offends the television industry, by the way, we're going to go in 2 days to do some more recording on our animated pilot, and then we're going to show it to the people at Fox, and they most likely will go, that's really great. Anyway, next, you know, that's just the way it is, right? Hopefully we can get it on the air, but that's a, you know, that's a one in a million shot, man. So I'm not saying any of this stuff to try to sour the waters for me over there, but I'm just going to say, why is it, and I say Fox specifically because they quote Gail Berman, the network's entertainment chief. Fox is awaiting the evaluation of its broadcast standards department before making a decision on whether to pursue airing it. The Hollywood agent who's offering a licensing deal to networks on behalf of Icon, Jeff Berg, would not comment on any negotiations. Well, look. All right, so Fox at least is keeping their options open. ABC has turned it down flat. They don't want any Jesus stuff on their network. They got burned once, man, with that whole... You know, ABC just don't want to go down that road, okay? They're involved in talk radio. That's as violent as it gets for them. They're the family network. The last thing they want to put on the air is something about Jesus. So you won't be seeing it, so you're going to have to go to the movie theater. Now, is HBO passing too? That's the thing that's really driving me nuts. HBO has decided that they may not want to air it as well. They've got all kinds of programming. Executives there privately said the network has a plate full of movie premieres already scheduled for the next year. How can one industry collectively be so stupid? First of all, they turned it down. Nobody wanted to make the movie. That proved to be one of the dumbest decisions ever made. Now they don't want to put it on TV. May prove to be another. Maybe, just maybe, as the result of what we've been talking about, there is a real, violently anti-Passions of the Christ sentiment in the entertainment industry. They don't like the movie, period. And it doesn't matter how much money it's going to make them. They don't want it on the their TV. They don't want it in their movie theaters. They don't want it, period. The only answer could be it offends certain people in the entertainment industry. but they will show the Reagans. Showtime put the Reagans on it on the air. Did you see that one? Honest to God, it was horrible. Horrible. It wasn't that it was offensive. It was the worst acting, the worst writing, just the worst garbage you've ever seen in your life. Scarface, the Reagans, you know, down through the years, we could just, you know, they kept Who Wants to Be a Millionaire on long. Just watching that thing kind of just struggle through its final seasons was enough to make you want to vomit into a handkerchief. That was enough for me to just go, bleh. I don't know who I felt more sorry for. All those poor Jewish folks in the boxcars in Schindler's List, or looking at that scrunched up kisser on Regis Philbin night after night. I'll tell you who ought to air that Passions of the Christ, and I think she's got the guts. You got it, Jan Crouch. They ought to put that baby on TBN, and then they ought to cut Jan's kisser in right up in the corner, just superimpose her with the big pink hair going, crying and wailing and weeping. Jan Crouch and her beautiful husband, Paul. Put that baby on TBN, honey. All right, 1-800, or who's the other guy with the wacky-looking wife, Rexella? What's the guy's name who's got the cat? Oh, man, this guy's good. I forget his name. He's got a wife that comes from Mars, too.
Is it Gene Scott?
No, it ain't Gene Scott. This guy's wife is like, her name is like Galactica or something. She's got a real fright wig that's painted like green or something. And he is, what's that cat's name? I used to watch him every Sunday night when I got home from work. Ah, forget it. Coming up, huh? Tilton? No. Who's he? Tilton. Isn't that a cheese? Dr. Herb Sewell coming up on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Now, Bill Henry.
Ascot Raceway. You're at Ascot right now?
I'm watching some of Demolition Derby.
Okay, we're on the air right now. Dr. Herb Sewell is with us to talk about the difficulty, according to an opinion piece you wrote in the Los Angeles Times, the difficulty most women have of admitting to themselves that their ex-husbands were not only bad husbands, but also bad fathers. Dr. Sewell, welcome back to our program.
Always my pleasure, Phil.
You did a talk, and you kind of did a talk show and a psychology advice show for several years over on KFI, locally in Los Angeles. You've also authored a very controversial opinion piece in the LA Times where you say, and I'm quoting directly from this article, women complain constantly about their ex-husbands not spending more time with the children, about their ex-husbands not taking the children more often on weekends and holidays. When are they going to admit that they are at fault, not the ex-husbands? End quote. How do you say that the women are at fault if their ex-husbands don't have more to do with the kids?
Well, Phil, because they are at fault, and they can't admit it. Because to admit it means that they made, they're the ones that made the mistake of not only being able to pick a decent husband, but even worse, because it affects the lives of children, they couldn't pick a man to be a decent father. And the women who complain about their ex-husbands not paying child support, not spending time with the children, they're basically admitting that when it comes to picking men and husbands, as husbands and fathers, they're losers. And it is their bad judgment that consigns generations of children to fatherless wandering, gang membership, and antisocial behavior.
Well, you called the article Women Blame Yourselves, and there are statistics here. Only 20% of all fathers remain involved with their children 5 or more years after divorce, meaning most men don't remain involved with their kids after they've divorced or are divorced from the women. You say that's the woman's fault.
Well, if you do the math, that means 80% of all women involved in divorce with the father of their children have no judgment at all when it comes to picking a decent father for the children. It is a staggering, and I want to say a staggering amount of stupidity on the part of women. Now, this affects child support payment. When a woman goes into a court of law and she says, I want X number of dollars a month for child support, why isn't the judge querying her more honestly, about why should you get more child support when it was you who picked this imbecile, basically, as a father?
Well, all right, now you mentioned that you have 3 children who live with their mother?
That is correct, yeah.
Your ex-wife is an attorney?
Yes, my children's mother is Valerie Ryder. She's an attorney specializing in family law. She's a very brilliant woman.
Well, how often do you see your kids?
Well, that is my point. I don't see my children hardly at all. And when we drew up the custody papers, this is a great example of what I'm talking about. I made sure that I wasn't going to get sucked into a weekly or biweekly visitation thing. I see my kids only once a month, and that's for two overnights. And their mother has to make the arrangements to pick them up. Also, on top of that, I have recently made some very angry phone calls to her because the kids have told me about some new man she's seeing, and it's caused me a great deal of jealousy. So you've got two things in my case, and this is what I'm talking about. I don't really want to see my children all that much because I'm very busy, and yet I harass my wife about her personal relationships.
So you don't see the kids, you harass your ex-wife over who she's dating.
Yes, well, I don't harass her, I criticize. I criticize her, I don't see the children. I'm an example of what I'm talking about. I'm an example of what I'm talking about. My ex-wife, Valerie, not only picked a bad husband when she married me, and I was a bad husband. We were married for 5 years, we had two sons in that time. I was unfaithful to her numerous times. but she also picked a terrible father for her children. You know, I'm not too busy, I'm not too busy to go out and have drinks with friends, but I'm too busy to be involved in my son's lives, and I have to say I'm not that interested because she's badgered, as most women will, she's badgered me into having these children, you know, having these children with me, and I don't want to pay more child support to her for her mistake. That's why we're going to court. And that's why I believe the state of California should definitely... finally come to terms with the fact that women marry men who turn out to be lousy fathers, so they made that mistake. They married a man who turns out to be a lousy husband, they made that mistake. And yet, we the men have to pay for the mistake the wife made.
Okay, that's a different way of looking at it.
Well, it's a different way of looking at it, Phil. It's also, I think, a very honest way of looking at it.
So in your article, you explain to women how they can take that responsibility, and we'll talk about that in a moment. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Women who pick terrible fathers, women who pick terrible men to be fathers and husbands, why do they then get to go into court and ask for more child support? You're saying it's a mistake they made, they ought to live with it.
I'm sorry, Phil.
You're saying that this is a mistake that the women made, they should live with it.
Absolutely. Women make this mistake of picking a man to be the father of their children because he's sexy in bed, which I understand was my wife Valerie's major reason for marrying me. She even said that I was a great lover. But that doesn't mean I'm going to be a faithful husband or a good father.
All right, so you do explain in your article how women can take responsibility.
Well, we try and help women. We try to help them make better decisions when it comes to men, the men in their lives. We have two workshops that we conduct in Malibu on weekends. I've got three PhDs involved, and all of us are men who do not want much to do with our own children. We also cheated on our wives. So we can show the women who were there, how they made one imbecilic mistake after another. And by the time the women walk out of our workshop 3 weeks later, they can say with complete honesty, I was a stupid woman. I can't pick a husband. I can't pick a father for my children. Therefore, I put my children in jeopardy.
Now, you say that there are some exceptions to this rule.
Well, there are exceptions.
What do you mean exceptions to the rule? Women who didn't make the mistake or...
Well, Phil, when the father realizes that though he isn't much interested in staying in touch with his kids, once he is divorced from their mother, the fact that she could be so stupid as to pick him for a father probably means the children will be the victim of other ignorant mistakes. And so we do have a lot of fathers who want to stay involved with the children. But they only want to stay involved with the children because they're afraid the children are at risk with the mother.
And that feeling of the children being at risk with their mother is that he realizes she was so dumb she picked a bad husband and a bad father so she may make other bad mistakes?
That is correct. Because he doesn't want them spending any more time than necessary with their mother, that's all. So put it all together in what have you got? You've got an awful lot of unfair child support payments being made. you have an awful lot of men out there who are being unfairly targeted by the courts to pay more money when, in point of fact, it was the mistake made initially by the woman for marrying a man that wasn't a good father. He would not have to pay child support. To put it another way, Phil, he would not have to...
Well, he wouldn't have to pay child support payments if she hadn't married him.
That is right. He would not be liable for the support of children if she hadn't been so stupid as to pick him for a husband and a father. And so that's... And the judicial system needs to step in and start to see who is really to blame in these broken relationships. 90% of the time, it's the woman for being so clueless, so utterly without a connection to the real world, that she picks a lousy husband, a lousy father.
All right, our number is 1-800. You're at a demolition derby, I understand, at Ascot Raceway, and it doesn't sound that loud, but if it gets too loud, I'd ask you to move.
I'd be happy to do that, Phil.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Dr. Herbert Sewell with a proposal for the court systems to actually lower child support or eliminate it altogether for men because they're not the ones that made the mistake. The women that married them made the mistake in assuming they'd be good fathers. What if the guy is a good father?
Well, I'm not talking about those men. I'm talking about those of us who don't want a lot to do with the children once we're divorced. I'm talking about...
And you readily admit to that.
Well, yes, I do. I love my sons, but that's as far as it goes. I'm very busy. I don't have a lot of time to spend with them. I realize that perhaps they'll grow up resenting me. And I realize that perhaps they won't have a good relationship with me. But that's not my fault. That's the fault of my ex-wife for asking me to father children for her. How could she be so stupid as to ask me? I've been cheating on her for three... You know, it's... you know, so...
All right. In your court application, you're asking that your child support for your two sons be eliminated completely.
That is correct.
Don't you want to support your kids?
Well, I do, but I've got other things I'd like to do with the money.
And well, what do you say to people who say you just sound heartless?
I'm not a heartless man. It's just that it's not my fault that I'm not a good father. I think I'm a good man. Even when the relationship is over, the woman will continue to push the man to be the father when we fully admitted we're not good fathers. How stupid can you be? And it's not that I'm a bad man. I'm just not a good father. Why should I have to pay all of this?
Well, some people are going to say you father the kid, you pay for it.
But I didn't father the kid. I fathered the kid, yes, but I'm a bad father. She's the one that wanted me to do it. Yes, I fathered the kid, but I'm a lousy father. Do you understand?
Well, then why did you get married?
That's not the point. The point, You see, you don't understand what I'm saying. The point is not that I'm the one to blame. That's the game we've been playing. That she's the one to blame for being the imbecile that married me in the first place. And this is true of millions of American women and millions of American men. Ha ha ha.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Dr. Herb Sewell is with us. Proposal change to child support and the whole dynamic that we know as custody, and it's an ugly thing, divorce. But why do the men who have proven themselves to be, just the men who have proven themselves to not only be bad husbands but bad fathers, why should they have to pay? It was the woman's mistaken judgment in the first place that caused the whole thing. Women, as he says in his article, blame yourselves. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Talk radio's worst nightmare. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Herb Sewell is with me. Dr. Herb Sewell has written an article in the LA Times called Women Blame Yourselves. If you want your husbands, your ex-husbands, to be better fathers, if you want them to come to the table with child support, maybe you should have made a better decision when it came to choosing the men to father your children and choosing men to be your husbands. It's an interesting point of view. You mentioned that you have three children that you don't want to pay for, three children that you don't, you're not involved with. You readily admit that you're a bad father.
Well, I can give an example. So tonight I'm over at an automobile race, and I could be with my three sons, but I choose to spend it with a young lady who is a paralegal at one of the offices in our building. I don't think that that bespeaks a very good father. So my wife picked a lousy man to be the father of her children. And what's even more tragic is that women refuse to see the signs of a bad father. For instance, my wife Valerie accepted the fact that I didn't show up in the hospital when our boys were born. I was in, and I don't say this with any pride, but I had been arrested that afternoon on a DUI, and I could not post bail until after my very first son was born. And it, to be honest with you, it didn't bother me.
You missed the birth of your first son because you were arrested for DUI.
That is correct. And if you say, well, that makes you a very bad man, Mr. Sewell, I would say yes. I would say that I agree with you. You know, how much more can I make it clear? I'm not capable. I was never home for dinner. I golfed every weekend. I proved I didn't care. Do women need to have a sledgehammer taken to their heads? It's their fault.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me go to Elizabeth here. Elizabeth, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Herbert Sewell.
I just want to say, that is so wrong for him to feel that way. You know, even though he feels pressured into having those kids are a part of him, and that must make them kids feel really, really, really bad.
I think so. I think so, and they should blame their mother. She's the one.
Yeah.
She's the idiot that picked me to be the father of those children.
No.
Oh, she's not? She was smart. No, it's not.
You're
it's not
that smart yourself. I don't care how
well,
many
that may be fine, but the fact is, my wife should not be rewarded for being stupid.
Well, neither should you. I don't understand.
I'm not
why
being rewarded. How am I being rewarded? How am I being rewarded?
Well, you're not having to pay for the kids.
But I never was a good father. It's time for women to understand that they have made huge mistakes in the way they choose their men. Are you married, ma'am?
Yes, I am.
Well, good luck.
Well, I don't like your children.
What?
I really do, and you're not really that funny, just so you know.
Well, I can tell you I'm not trying to be funny, but if you're married to a man...
You must...
What's that?
Go ahead.
I can't understand what she said. What'd she say?
What did you say, Valerie? Or Elizabeth?
She's in a truck.
Go ahead. I want to hear if I'm married to a man, what?
Are you married to a man?
Yes, I'm married to a man.
All right, well, good luck to you. You know.
Oh.
I mean, do you have any children?
No, not yet, but...
well, may I suggest...
I hope your kids turn out to be a better man than you have.
Well, ma'am, I can tell you this. I hope and pray that before you have children with whatever it is you're married to, that you thoroughly check out the kind of man that he is. Otherwise, you're going to wind up begging him for child support. It's going to be a disaster. Look, even when my wife told me she was pregnant, I said, Valerie, I don't care. Do you understand what that means when your wife says...
You didn't say that.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Oh. You're so arrogant.
No, I'm trying to show where women have been blithering idiots when it's come to how to pick men as fathers.
Okay. Did you voice your opinions before y'all got married? I mean, you didn't have to marry her.
Sure I did. I told her that I would probably make a very bad husband, but I was good in bed.
Seriously, I mean, that wouldn't make me marry a man.
Well, all right. I should have met you.
That was the whole reason.
Well, I wish I would have met you instead of Valerie. But I like women who are I like women that are educated.
You wouldn't have gotten very far with me.
That's why you wouldn't have gotten to first base with me.
Exactly, and I wouldn't want to.
No, because
but anyway,
do you have any education?
Yes, I do. But anyway,
I'm not talking about high school. I mean, did you get through college?
But anyway...
Does your husband do things without you? Because if he does, he probably doesn't want kids.
All right, listen, Elizabeth.
Never mind. Go back on your CB radio. I'm sure there's a good cockfight out there somewhere.
Elizabeth, thank you for your call. I would say to Dr. Sewell, sir, it's not important to put people down.
No, but you have to understand, this is a battlefield that I fight all the time. I tell people... I told my wife, she said to me, Herb, I'm pregnant. This is one of the happiest days of my life. And I said, that's nice. And I remember I took a handful of walnuts. We had a tray of walnuts. And I went into the living room and I pulled down a book that I enjoy called Young's Man and His Symbols.
You didn't rejoice with your wife over the birth of the possible birth of a first child?
No, I didn't. And so she knew right then. And yet it's my fault? Jesus.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Jennifer, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Herb Sewell.
Yes. From what I'm understanding of what you're saying is that men shouldn't have to take responsibility for their actions, for things that they do. They're just as equally, they're just as equally responsible for making that kind of a decision.
If it's true, I think that we shouldn't have to pay as much child support as we do, because it was the woman who blew it by picking us as the father of their children. See, I think a judge should be allowed to question women as to just how intelligent they were at the time they made the decision. If it is established that she's a complete and utter idiot, why should the man be punished?
Well, why shouldn't the man come up and take responsibility for his actions?
I do take responsibility. I take responsibility for being a bad father. See, that's what catches you, Jennifer, and that's why most women can't argue with me about
that. A man makes those decisions, too. See, right. You could have just as easily said no.
Tell you what, Jennifer, why don't you hang on?
Getting married.
Why don't you hang on, Jennifer? Why don't you hang on, and we'll take a break. We'll be right back. 1-800-449-8686 with Dr. Herb Sewell on the mistakes that women have made. They should begin to take responsibility for them. It's The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. On the peripheral edge of reality.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
That's what I'm talking to the other people about.
I understand that.
And most of what is happening, we're going to be back on the air in, 30 seconds? Most of what is happening now is because of that FCC stuff.
And am I taking more phone calls?
We got Jennifer hanging on. I got a few more phone calls.
The young lady that I was speaking to before the break?
Yeah.
I think you need to bypass that call. I don't think she sounds very intelligent. I'm hoping you're going to get some more intelligent people.
I think most of the people that we have on are pretty intelligent, okay? But what I'm trying to say to you, we got 15 seconds to air.
I'm just trying to say to you, Phil, that most of the callers you've had tonight are imbeciles, and I don't think they understand what I'm saying.
Do yourself a favor and not say that to my callers. 10. We got 5 seconds. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I'm on here with Dr. Herb Sewell. His article in the Los Angeles Times has prompted some real outrage. Women blame yourselves. And you have said basically it's women and their stupidity.
Well, I don't mean to say that women are stupid. I think women are eminently wonderful and beautiful people. But I think when they decide about men, they can be, in the case of my own wife, incredibly stupid.
All right, Jennifer, let me get back her. Hi, Jennifer, you're back on with us. I'm sorry that we didn't have much time for you. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I think he is just as equally as responsible, because he could have just as easily said no to marriage and said no to having children.
Well, that's true, but ultimately, I did say that I was a bad father, and I told her that I didn't care that she was pregnant.
Oh,
so there you go. Now I know that's difficult for you to understand, but you can see the logic in my argument, and that's why. But you're intelligent.
You're saying it's okay for men not to take any responsibility for their actions.
No, I said I do take responsibility for my actions. I shouldn't have married this woman and shouldn't have become a father.
All right, hold on for 60 seconds. Station break. Jennifer, you hang on. Dr. Sewell, you hang on. We'll be right back. Here on the Phil Hendry Show. All right, we're clear.
Am I going to keep talking to this broad?
There's two other people. How many calls we got holding? 4 calls?
Phil?
Yeah.
You Am I still talking to this broad?
What broad is that?
The one that I'm talking to. Are you there?
Hold on for a minute. All right, we're back on the Phil Hendry Show. Jennifer, go ahead.
Yes. I can't comprehend the fact that this man doesn't think he should take responsibility for children he helped create.
Oh, my God, I thought I already explained this. I do take responsibility for being a bad father. You know, my second son, Jonathan, came into my study. He said, Daddy, could you show me how to tie my shoes? And I said, you know what, your mother had you. I said, first of all, don't call me Daddy. Secondly, I don't want to show you how to tie your shoes. I was very clear and upfront with the child.
Well, why don't you do the world a favor? Go to a doctor and have yourself fixed. It would probably make the world a better place.
Make myself sick?
Have yourself fixed.
No, have yourself fixed.
And we'll hold on for just a minute. Another 60-second station break. We'll be right back. 15-second break, so hold on.
Why don't you lose this woman that I'm talking to?
I held her through a 5-minute break.
Well, she is about the dumbest.
10 seconds, Phil.
10 seconds. We're back on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Yeah, if he can willingly admit that he's so horrible, then why didn't he just go to a doctor and have himself fixed?
I don't like to go to the doctor to get sick. I go to the doctor...
To be fixed, you heard her.
I'm having some fun. You're right, it's a good idea, but I'm not that responsible. Don't you understand what I'm saying? Why don't I? I don't. That's why I'm saying to my wife, you're the one that blew it.
Oh.
And we'll be right back. We clear, Janice?
Yeah, 5.
5 seconds.
The woman you've got on the line, I think I'm going to vomit if I have to talk to her for 5 more seconds. And I'm
asking you to be patient with my callers.
I'm going to puke up everything I had for breakfast if I got to talk to this dumb broad 5 more seconds.
You're up, Phil.
All right, we're on. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, we're back on the Phil Hendry Show. We're going to wrap up, Jennifer. Any other comments?
No, I just cannot believe that there are people in this world that are like that. That's just disgusting.
Like my wife, you're absolutely right.
No, like you.
Are you still married?
I was happily married for 8 years.
Aha!
Fine and well. He was a great father and everything.
What happened?
He just up and disappeared one day, and nobody's been able to find him since.
Don't you feel stupid?
Why should I have? He was a good father. He was a good husband. He was there. He spent plenty of time with his children. Why should you?
He up and left. Don't you feel like an idiot?
How was I supposed to know 8 years
down
the road?
You made a very big mistake. You idiot.
All right. Thank you very much, Jennifer. We're sorry about that. What is it with you, man?
Are you kidding me? He up and left and disappeared, and we don't know where he is now, and it ain't my fault? God, I think there's a dogfight out there someplace.
Yeah, I get it. Here is Alyssa. Alyssa, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
You can hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
I just have 2 questions for your caller. One, if you knew you were a bad father when you had your first child, why did you continue to have children?
That's right. Why did I?
What is the purpose in having kids that you don't want?
There is none. That's how bad a father I was.
Okay.
I had no reason to have children. And I told my wife, I said, I'm going to have these kids with you, and I shouldn't, and you should know that I shouldn't, and you should know that. I don't want that one, and I don't want this one.
Okay.
And she said, oh, you'll feel better after little Timmy is born, or whatever she wanted to call him. I don't even know the second boy's name. That's how uninvolved I am. I know the first one is Roger or Rochester or something. I don't even know his name.
Are you trying to tell me you don't know the names of your boys?
No, I don't.
My second question is...
Why should I have to pay child
support? Hello?
Yes, I'm right here. Go ahead, Elise. I just watched they had a good fender bender here.
I just wonder if, you know what I'm saying, what about these kids... What about these men that are running around having all these kids, and they know they're having these kids, but they don't do anything about it? So that's not their problem either?
Well, who would possibly have a child with an idiot like that? Only another idiot.
What, you know what I'm saying?
Are you married?
Are you listening to me?
Are you married, Ben?
No, I'm engaged.
Were you ever married?
Well, I've never been married.
All right. This is what I'm saying. Don't be an idiot.
I have this question for you. What about these men that are telling these women, oh, I want to be with you, I want to get married to you, I want to have kids with you.
Right.
Let's have a baby, we'll get married.
They're liars.
What about those men?
They're liars. They're liars, and the women should have known they were liars.
Wait a minute. These guys are saying, I want to have kids, let's have babies, then they have babies, and these guys up and leave.
Right. It's
exactly.
Terrible. These guys are absolute scum. They don't make good fathers, and the woman should have
known. Okay, and I'm asking, are you still saying it's not their fault?
Of course.
Are you still saying it's the woman's fault?
Of course it is. They should have known they were liars. Any man who says that simply wants sex. You should know that. But let me ask you something. The gentleman you're engaged to, does he want children?
Yes, he does.
Okay.
Well, what does that mean?
She's in trouble, but she doesn't want to listen to me, so that's
no,
right.
I'm not in trouble, though.
Sure. Whatever you say.
Listen to me.
Whatever you say, sure.
You know what I'm saying? My father was never involved in my life, and that wasn't a problem for me. And it's not going to be a problem for your kids either. That's just something that you're missing out on.
Ma'am, you know, that's fine. I don't mind missing out on it. I could care less whether those kids miss it.
But you shouldn't make the kids feel like it's their fault.
I don't want to know anything about them. I'm just simply saying to my wife, why do I have to pay for it? Now you're married to you're engaged to a guy who says that he wants to have kids? Good luck.
So in other words, he's lying too.
Oh, absolutely. But she doesn't.
You know what I'm saying? I think I'm pretty well adapted. You know what I'm saying? I'm a 21-year-old college student. I'm a psychology major.
Okay, well,
you know what I'm saying?
Congratulations. But the guy who wants to have kids with you, he said that to four other women this week.
Because we're together.
Thank you very much. How's the race?
It's great.
You're at a demolition derby rather than being with your own kids. What do you think of that, Elisa?
I just think it's sad that Frank can say that they don't want their own kids.
Why wouldn't a guy want to be at a demolition derby rather than having to feed some brat? Look at that, huh?
Cut him off.
But thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you very much,
man. I like it.
Wow.
Herb Sewell. It's all your fault. You should have known I was a lousy father. You're right. I suck. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Out of bounds. The Phil Henry Show is back.
You know, I had an occasion. It's driving me nuts. We met in Aspen when we were in Aspen, Colorado. The co-host on Forehead Boys radio show. And boy, she's a remarkable lady. Not only is she beautiful, which I suppose every man has. We got to get that out of the way. We just have to make that statement. It's wrong of me, but I've been wrong many times. But I also want to say she's intelligent, she's on Court TV, and I can't remember her blood. Is it Diane Diamond? Is that it? No. I can't remember her name. But I said to her, what the hell are you doing with him? And she's like, I said, you know, you are smart enough to do your own radio show. Why aren't you, what are you sitting there being the giggle girl for Forehead Boy? First of all, nothing he's ever said is going to be that funny. Well, then I realize why they need to have somebody there. But hell, they could put a laugh track in. All he has to do is punch a button every time he says something he thinks is funny or should be. He probably doesn't even think he's funny. He just will push the button when he thinks maybe that's supposed to be a punchline. And it'll push the button. It'll go, ha, 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 ha. And, you know, he'll feel better. But what are you doing? And she just, yeah, well, I said, you need to have your own radio show. And I'm just the one to manage your career. But in any event, what's her name? Anybody? I don't know. And you know what? I'm not even all that interested. 1-800-449. You know what? I tried to help her, and she doesn't want my help. Great. 1-800-449-8686. The rapper who was the bodyguard for P. Diddy the night that he got involved in that gunplay at a New York nightclub where apparently somebody was shot. The rapper who is doing jail time, not P. Diddy, but a guy by the name of Yamal Shine Barrow has been signed to a $3 million record contract. Now, why would I even bring this up? Why would I care whether P. Diddy lives or dies, whether P. Diddy lives or rots horribly in a hole someplace? Why? Because I always like to point out how to read news stories properly. I always like to give you guys a little bit of lowdown. When it says Island Def Jam expects to sign imprisoned rapper Yemal Shine Barrow to a $3 million record contract, what that basically means is, thank you very much for taking the fall for Diddy. Here's your payback for going inside for that dirtbag. And where in the hell did Jennifer Lopez ever get the pair of buns on her? And she's got a nice pair, but where'd she ever figure that she was going to segue from Diddy Boy over to Ben Affleck, and that was going to make any kind of sense at all? She don't want to get married to this douche, what's-his-face, Diddy. She ain't going to want to marry that kid. Well, I guess she wanted that kid, the white boy, because I guess he represented something she'd never seen before. White and dumb. I don't know. But that was a disaster, wasn't it? Let me say, if I may, and perhaps I shouldn't, but I will. Thank you and good night. No, let me say, women of color, and I will tell you that Jennifer Lopez, for all intents and purposes, to Ben Affleck, is a woman of color. She's Puerto Rican, yes, New York, Bronx, born and raised, but the end result is exceedingly neighborhood when it comes to her ethnicity, shall we say. Now, when they hook up with a white guy, the first thing they want to do is turn him into Dash Rip Rock. How do I know? It happened to me. I was with a young lady of color for 3 years, and man, she tried to put some color into my cheeks, I'll tell you that. Tried to dress me up, put on the shoes, can't do it, you can't do it, you can't do it. You know, won't you, look at you ladies, African-American women, if you want to date a white guy, which is fine, because I can tell you most white men would love to actually go out with a sister, but most white guys don't have the guts to approach black women. They really don't. They just don't have the guts. They don't know how. They think you have to speak some kind of weird language. Like, I don't know what they think. But I will tell you, once you hook up with those guys, it's going to be very difficult. If the guy is one of these rough boys who looks like he really tends toward the denim and boots, it's going to be tough to change him into Flash, you know, Flash and the Pan. Because you're going to wind up being the Flash, and he's going to be in the Pan. Whatever the hell that means. And I remember Yvonne, she tried to buy me shoes, wanted to get me into these kind of slacks, sports jackets, tailored jackets, this and that and everything. I said, God, I can't, it's bugging me. And so it never really happened. And the whole thing with that guy, Affleck, same thing. Because that's what she's used to, right? She's used to going to all them P. Diddy parties where everybody's all waxed up and just ready to rock and roll, right? Well, Shine, and they don't call him Shine for nothing because he waxes, he's got himself a rap deal, even though he's going to be inside for a while. I think he's got a 10-year stretch for his role in the New York nightclub shooting involving Sean Puff Daddy Combs. But he's finalizing the deal, and you know what this is. This is thank you for taking the heat off of Puff Daddy, Shine. When Shine gets out, he's going to be like Steve Buscemi getting out. He may want to square some accounts. All right, now, I went in for you, you shined up, spangled up, bling bling jackass. Now, here's the way it's going to be. So that's how you read that, folks. If you see the news story about this guy, Shine, who's got a rap deal, and you don't know anything about rap, you wouldn't know rap, man, if somebody rapped you across the face, right? Just know that when these rappers get into their little gang fights and they flash their guns and they do the things that they do, right? You know, they have their, they got their eye on the prize. And Puff Daddy, even though he's a badass, isn't going to prison for anybody. Somebody insulted him. Somebody called him a slob. You know what they probably said? They probably said, man, where did you get those threads? You are putting serious hurt on my vision. Oh, man. You look kind of funny and all that. And he got angry, naturally pulled a gun, tried to shoot the guy. And when the shooting ended, he went up to Shine and he said, Shine, guess what? You're elected. We'll have a big party. Nice trip. See you later, babe. But, along the way, I'll take care of you. So he's got $3 million. And as we all know, you can spend $3 million in jail, can't you? Now, this kid's 19 years old. He'll be 29 when he gets out. And I suppose his virginity will be long gone, but, on a brighter note, nobody has to know that. By the way, Rexella's husband, the lady I was trying to think of, was Jack Van Impe. Now, here's a guy that is just... You got to watch this guy, Jack Van Impe, because he keeps going back to Rexella like she's some oracle. Now let's go to Rexella for the real scoop.
Jack, today I have seen the Holy Land. It's 1,500 miles wide and 1,500 miles deep, and they're going to put the new Jets ballpark there.
Thank you, Rexella. I'm Jack Van Impe. We'll be back after I do something with my toenails. This is the Phil Hendry Show. Paul Harvey.
Bye.